The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take her soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
I am so excited to have Kaylee Dickerson on Get Real Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This is
my adorable friend.
You're my adorable friend. You're my adorable wise, like, you are just connected to the well of the living spring of life.
We're just going straight for it, huh?
You are. Like, you are that friend. You radiate joy. You radiate truth. You radiate, like, I mean, no one's 100% clean and pure, but you are, like, a pure vessel. And every time I'm around you, I'm like, oh. And Russell, too. You're married to Russell Dickerson.
He's an angel.
He is an angel. Y'all are joyful and fun, and you choose all the right choices in life.
I don't know if that's true.
Yes, you do.
We try to. But you're never going to, what is it, bat in a thousand? I can't tell if that's a good or bad phrase, actually. I have this, like, reverse mixed metaphor in my life that I kind of mess them up sometimes.
It's okay. Well, you've also
bat in a thousand, I think, is a negative thing, I think.
I don't know baseball.
Yeah, me neither. Obviously.
I've just learned football because of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
That's the reason. No, honestly, that it's like you try your best. I mean, so do you.
Yeah, but I can slump down. I can get way emotional and emo and, like, lost in my sadness and stuff. And, like, when you hit rocky stuff, I feel like your faith is so rock solid, and so is Russell's. And my faith is so rock solid, yeah. But, like, I waver a lot in the fall, you know, and then I hit the mat, and I'm like, okay, God, I knew I needed to get here the whole time, but I had to, like, totally emotionally break down before. I just feel like you and Russell are so great at, like, always knowing God's in control and always knowing that everything's in your favor and always, like, I remember on our first podcast episode, yours had not come out yet, or it was just coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, his first number one. And now what number one are we on now?
Honestly, five.
He says five number ones?
Five. Four.
Oh my God.
Four or five. Something.
How fun awesome. When you just forget.
So amazing. Something amazing. I don't know.
So we're at the point where we don't quite remember. Yeah. I mean, it's so great. So yours was just coming out. That's his song, his number one, his first single.
Yeah.
And I remember you telling me before that came out, and Russell, because you've been with Russell forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And y'all had this dream, and you were producing his videos, and, like, you were so important in the content creation before content creation was a thing, even, actually. And y'all would just, like, root yourself in prayer. And when you didn't know what to do, y'all would march around your fireplace and have like a prayer march. And you just pray to God and you just march out your prayers. Yeah. Like, do you remember talking
about that? Oh yeah. It was our first house that we ever bought. And it was like, there was this wall between our living room and kitchen next to the fireplace. That's where we recorded that episode. And we called it our Jericho wall. We would just march around it and march around and pray. And I don't know that it's more so like, I don't think you have to pray like they did at Jericho, but
what does that mean exactly?
So Joshua, he was told, God told him to march around the city and march and pray each single day, and then on the final day they let the trumpet blast and there was all these instructions and the walls of Jericho fell. And so we always reference that as like, we're praying for things and against other things against you, you know, so you're just marching and praying. And there's just something about, I don't know, just walking and praying for us. If we sit still, and I think this is kind of a metaphor for life. If you sit still, you get stagnant, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're marching and praying and walking, or now it's less like that because we have kids in the house.
And you're just moving all the time.
We're moving all the time. But now we'll do it on like walks outside. There's just something about like a prayer during a walk that you don't feel rushed.
Do you guys pray during your walks all the time?
Yeah, a lot of times.
How does that go? You got Remy and Rad and then stroller? And what happens? How does the prayer get going?
You just start praying. You're like, God, we pray for this thing and that thing and for this person and what they're walking through. And we speak life and life abundant. And we, you know, just like try and pray life for people, for our calling, for all those things. And it just kind of goes back and forth. It's like a conversation kind of. And then eventually, sometimes it doesn't like officially end. Like you just kind of forget and like,
you just get home.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. You know, I think God understands that.
So, do y'all do that every day?
Not as much as I want to,
but
for sure.
Lot.
We try.
Do you think praying together is a huge reason why your marriage is so successful?
Yeah, I really do. I saw some stat recently. It was like divorce rates are no different whether you're in the church or outside the church. But if you pray together, it's like a single digit percent that get divorced if you pray together. Which I don't know who did that statistic. I don't know. But when I saw it, I was like, you know what? I really believe that. Because there's just something about being one and coming together as one in the spiritual. I just think it's effective. Yeah. It does say that one puts 1,000 to flight and two put 10,000. Mm. So there's like a multiplication, not just
effect.
A doubling. Yeah. A compound effect to your prayers when you pray with someone else. So we try, you know, you need a good bang for your buck, you know, let's make it as effective as possible. None of us have a ton of time. Someone told me once, they're like, you're an intercessor. And I was like, I don't think I am.
What does that mean?
So an intercessor is someone who like has the gift of prayer.
But you can speak prayer over people too. Like you have like a healing power.
I love to pray. But in my experience, so many people who are intercessors are the people who like sit at home in their closet. I don't mean to laugh, but like they just like sit and pray and pray and that's all they do and they don't go anywhere. And I was like, well, that's just like, that's not me. Like I just pray, I believe what I pray, and then I move on. And whoever I was talking to at the time was like, that's an intercessor because you know your prayers are going to be effective. Like you have so much faith that like God hears you. Mm. I was like, yeah, I do. I really do.
And have you seen God work his miracles in you?
Well, that's why, like you say, like I've watched you deal with things and you're unwavering. I was like, well, you just learn that in the small, hard things. And then every time he shows up in your hard things, you just know he's always going to show up. And every time it's been right. Mm. It felt, even the times it felt delayed, even the times it felt like it was never going anywhere or he always showed up.
What, if you are open to sharing with us, what's a moment that was really hard for you where, I know you never thought God wasn't there because you have such a strong faith, but where you're like, God, what is going on here? This is really, really taking me to my knees. And then how did he show up for you?
I think 2020 was one of those years. I think it was for all of us, like, especially in our lives, our livelihood is people and we are non-essential essentially is what we were told, but that's not true. Obviously music people are essential, but we were not at the time. And what that kind of does to your heart and your mind, especially my husband's mind, and watching our band and crew, like telling these guys that they don't matter basically was really hard to watch.
What do you mean telling them they don't matter?
Like you weren't allowed to leave the house unless you were an essential.
Oh, like this job
isn't
essential.
Like if you were medical and if you, right, there were essential people. And any of us who were told to stay home were basically told we weren't essential,
mm-hmm.
You know? And I watched that pan out in a lot of people's lives. And what's interesting in how we made it through, honestly, is I listened to a podcast with Lauren Daigle.
Oh, she is an angel.
Adore her. Adore her. And she was on Annie Downs' podcast. And
you're on that network.
Yes.
Coffee with Kaylee.
Some AD.
Hit 1 million downloads, Coffee with Kaylee. Everyone, check it out.
Yeah, it was long before I podcasted, all of that. And it was 2019. I was on a Southwest flight before we had kids, all this stuff. And I heard her say that she felt the Lord tell her to let the land rest on her seventh year.
Let the land rest.
It's like
rest.
This old biblical principle from the Old Testament that they would like till the land, farm, do all this. And on the eighth year, let the land, or on the seventh year, let the land rest. Okay. And I was like, wow, I really believe in that. I really believe in that. And I'm like, whenever you want to do that with us, God, like, you just let us know. Obviously, and I did the math and I was like, oh, this would be next year from the time like yours really hit. I was like, what is our seventh year? I was like, oh, that'd be next year.
But just, are you talking about from your journey starting?
Yeah.
Of like this pursuing music with all of your passion?
Yeah.
So let the land rest means take a break?
Yeah. Pretty much. She quit everything.
Really?
She moved back home, didn't write, didn't do shows. She was like, I'm going to let it rest. And she came back and that's when she wrote like Look Up Child and all these massive songs that like went into pop and all that. And I remember just thinking, wow, I believe in this. And so I was like, whenever you want to do that, it's cool with me. And fast forward about 4 months and everything starts to shut down.
And it all starts to rest.
Yeah.
But it's not resting how we thought it would be.
Excuse me. Yes, exactly. But there was something about, because I had experienced that, I really had this piece of, this is terrifying. We're the only money we have, we're sending to our band and crew to feed them. I don't know what, like we needed to renovate the outside of our house. Like we still do. The windows are like all fogged up. The roof, like squirrels can get in. Like it's like we needed to do this as soon as we moved in. And we're like, okay, we'll move in and then we'll do it. Well, then 2020 happened. And so our roof looked like our band eating and our windows are like, you know, we tried to just take care of our people as best we could. And, but I still just had this crazy peace when it should have taken us out. You know, it should have taken all of us out. It was really anxiety ridden that year because you didn't know when it was going to end, if it was going to end.
Right.
And
you didn't have Remington yet.
You were
pregnant.
I was pregnant with Remington. I found out I was pregnant January 1st, 2020.
Wow, that's a big year.
Big year. And I was like, God, what's my word for this year? And he was like, settled. And I was
settled
like,
in settled. The most chaotic year in the world.
Yeah,
settled.
Yeah.
Of course, and I was like, Kaylee would be settled.
I was like, oh, well, we just moved in to this house. Like, so we're settling in, not like you're settling, you know, but settling in. And I was like, and then I found out that day I was pregnant and I was like, okay, I guess we're settling. Like we're having a kid. And then probably in like July, it occurred to me again that that was the word. And I was like, wow, you were not kidding. Like we are settled. Like we have gone nowhere. That is crazy.
How do you get your word? Does God speak it to you?
Yeah, kind of. It's like this, how do you explain it? A knowing that you didn't think.
A knowing that you didn't think?
Yeah.
It's just like in your...
Like your heart feels it.
Mm.
And you're like, I don't know. The word popped into my mind and I was like, well, I didn't try and think of that.
And that felt, it felt so right.
And it felt right. Yeah. And there's times something pops in my head and I'm like, no, you thought that. You, there's a difference. But yeah, and then when I was, Remy's name was this whole thing. A friend had a dream about it. And then I looked what his name meant, and it meant planted by the river. And I loved that because Psalm 1 talks about you'll be planted by the river, and in seasons of drought, you will still bear fruit. And he was still fruit in a season of drought. And then another friend was like, do you know what else his name means? I was like, no. And she said the part two to his name means settlement. And I was like, what? Okay, well, my child's name is Remington. Like, it felt like if I didn't name him that, I was being disobedient or something. I was like, okay, Remington it is.
Well, that took that off the table.
Yeah, sure did.
And he's an angel.
He's in the three-nager stage today. I had like a little iPod that I bought forever ago when he was little that was music for him so that I could listen or be on the phone in the car, and I would just like put the iPod near him so he could hear his wheels on the bus, etc. And I didn't have to. And I kind of forgot about it. It's like this old iPad.
Mm-hmm.
He just found it. He's like, "Mommy, it's my phone. I need to text Nana and see if she's okay." And I was like, "Oh." I was like, "No, we're taking the phone away." And then he was like throwing a fit. I was like, no. We're too little to be like doing the phone dance. So that's not going to happen.
I know. The phone, the kids know about the phone so young.
Yeah. It went away. It's like, I don't know where it went. I think maybe Santa took it home with him. I don't know. It went back in the bag.
Oh my gosh. I love that Remington and Sunny share the same birthday. Yes,
it's adorable.
It's adorable. And then, okay, so another date that I do, okay, this is another date I want to talk to you about. Yes. That is a little potentially sad, okay. But it's April 2nd.
Yes.
That's a big day for you.
Yes, April 4th.
And yeah. I know these feelings well,
yeah.
But you were so brave to share about this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to talk about the joys of motherhood, but also in the joys of motherhood comes, sometimes in the motherhood journey comes some really sad.
Yeah, for real.
Hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know this very well. And I just, it's something I wish no one knew about. Like, it's just one of those things you'd want to take away from anyone who's ever been through it. And yeah, so Remy's due date was 9/9. And then my second baby's due date was 4/4. And we lost that baby around 9 weeks. And but then now my rainbow baby, his due date was 10/10.
Stop it.
Isn't that cute? They're all little duplicates. Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, it was a really hard season for us. Everything in his career that was tough was compounding and compiling and getting us to a point that we needed to make changes. And this happened before that, a significant amount of time before it. But it was
like
one
of the internal workings of his career?
Yeah, yeah. And there were, this was one of the very first things that we were like, oh, something's not right. And just how, like, the lack of support we felt in this season. And basically, I went to the doctor, and I had a chemical pregnancy, my first pregnancy. So
before Remington?
Yeah. So if you don't know what that is, it's essentially like the sperm and egg meet, science lesson. and so it triggers your hormones, but nothing implants. Mm-hmm. And so like you get a positive test, but then a few days later you get aunt flow. Period. Yeah. So
aunt flow.
But you have your hopes up already. So when I went in, they did an ultrasound. They're like, there's nothing here. So my very first ultrasound experience was really sad. Mm. And that's something I have to combat constantly. Honestly, like every pregnancy I've had to just like work up the nerve that I'm like, everything's going to be fine. And I speak life. And anytime I imagine something bad, I really try to intentionally replace the image in my mind with something good or what is supposed to happen. And that's been really helpful for me in motherhood as a whole. So yeah, I went in. Remington obviously was healthy, big, gigantic
big old
boy. Yes. And then got pregnant. Went in and they were like, you're supposed to be more like 8 weeks, but you're measuring more like 6. And the heartbeat's really, really faint. And I was like, I did the math and I was like, there's no way that this is 6 weeks because I took a pregnancy test at 6 weeks in a day. Mm-hmm. So I knew something was wrong. And that day we got on a flight, flew to South Dakota to film like a music video kind of thing. And I was just stressed. Russ was like, everything's gonna be fine.
Eternal optimistic.
Yes,
Russell
he has the actual gift of faith. Like, he just believes everything's gonna be awesome all the time.
How?
I know. It is unbelievable, truly, to watch.
Like, I mean, what a joy to be married to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, really.
I feel like I'm not married to him, but I feel like it's a joy to yes, be married to his spirit. And you have
100.
The same matching joyful spirit.
Well, I think, I don't know, you become one with someone, right? So, like, I feel like I've gotten a little more ADD also since we've been married. Like, you kind of get to, you get their good and their difficult, you know? But, yeah, I flew and I was scared and I knew something was wrong. And he was like, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. I was like, no, it's not. And we got home. They needed to wait a whole week to see if there'd be growth. Longest week maybe of my life. And then I went in and my tech was like, I'm so sorry. There's no heartbeat. And I was like, okay. And Russ is, that's when he lost it.
Did because, he cry?
Oh yeah. Bald. Like in the room, I remember she left and we stood there and just like cried. And, but I like knew. So he was so blindsided because he was like,
oh, he had just blinded.
He had
faith.
all the faith in the world. Yeah.
But you already felt it within.
Yeah. And so when we went to, my doctor afterwards, she she came in and I could tell she'd been crying and like
your doctor
was,
had?
Yes, isn't that so sweet? She's so wonderful.
Oh,
she's amazing. She's the reason I can birth giant babies, I swear. Everyone's like, no, it's you. I was like, no, I promise you, my doctor is, she's like a superhero. Anyway, so I looked at her and I was like, we're supposed to bus out tonight. What do we do? And she was like, if you weren't on your own bus, I would tell you, you have to stay home. But because to me, being away from him sounded so much worse than doing it alone.
Did you have to have the miscarriage on the bus?
Thank God my body was like, we're not doing this. My body waited till we got home.
But so you did it naturally? Your body released naturally?
Mm-hmm. And I was prepared, but I also had no idea what was coming. Now I'm like, thank God that didn't happen on the bus. Like I remember in our bathroom and I, for whatever reason, Russell got up and walked into the bathroom and was like, babe. And I like came to, like, I almost passed out. I was in like so much pain and, you know, I was just like in and out of that bathroom. And he, for whatever reason, that moment got up. I'm like, I definitely would have passed out if he hadn't like said something. Yeah, it was just horrible. And then right after that, we went on tour in Europe. And that year he did 130-something shows. And it was just the cherry on top of just, like, the way too freaking much cake. Like, it was like, this is impossible for anyone. And then to go through this in the midst of it, it was just unbearable.
To, like, jump back onto your ride of life that's moving at a million miles a minute. And I feel like that's the thing with miscarriage is I've actually had a miscarriage every way you can have one. I've done a DNC. I've passed one naturally. I've done the pill. I've had a chemical pregnancy. Yeah. And I'm like, every single one is terrible. But it's like the one actually that I passed one at the BMI Awards.
We're
at the
I BMI remember Awards. Yeah, that story. And I was, I think about it actually like a good amount. I'm
you
like,
do?
How? Yes. I think, I'm like, how did she do this? Like every time I go to the BMI Awards, first of all, I think
sorry,
about it.
I didn't mean to take I'm that like, experience I'm like, for you.
No, but no one should have to do that. And then in our world to like, it's the quintessential career of like put on a happy face on this red carpet and pretend like everything is fine. And meanwhile, you were literally probably on a red carpet seconds before that. And then literally
having a miscarriage in the bathroom.
Yes.
And then the sad part was
I'm also sad I didn't know like at the time because I would have been there. I would have been like, forget all this. Let me help you.
But I think the thing is when you're in this, and this is why like I'm so glad to talk about this with you. And I don't want to be like a sob story, like, let me talk about my miscarriages all the time.
No,
because it's like, but it's like this is a huge thing women go through. And it's like you go through it and then all of a sudden you just get back onto your life because it is such a, even though your husband is so supportive and they're so with you, it's your body. Mm-hmm. You're doing it, you're passing it, and then it's over, and then life goes on, and it's just like the silent thing that you kind of do alone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's painful. Mm-hmm. It hurts. And like, I just remember like literally looking at it and wrapping it up, saying a prayer, and then flushing it down the toilet. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so sad.
Yeah. It's, you know? It's so traumatizing. It's really traumatizing.
It is.
And if anyone listening has been through that, like, I'm just so sorry. Like, I really wish this is one of the things, this and childhood cancer. I'm like, these two things just like have to go. Like these are not the hand of God on the earth.
Do you think they are? Because they happen.
No.
How are you so sure?
Well, because God is life and life abundant. Like we were never even supposed to die. You know, like it was supposed to be everything that is good and kind and wonderful in the world is God. And everything that is death, like it says the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what those things are. They're stealing life, killing life, destroying life. And I know that's not God. And it is a reality of life. But it doesn't mean going through that, I wasn't like, hello, where are you? Because he can also heal. He can do all these things that when you don't see it happen, like one of my very best friend's father passed away from COVID, actually.
I remember going through this.
And it...
he like raised you.
Yeah, like spiritually for sure. And if there was anyone I was going to believe was just going to sit up in that bed and like come back to life, it was him. You know, and he didn't. And I'll never be able to explain that. And it's not fair. And this was the second parent she lost. It's just not fair. And miscarriage is not fair. And every time you've walked through it, it has shattered my freaking heart. I think we actually had one. I think ours were similar times. It was like September of, it was Labor Day is when I actually lost the baby of 2023.
Last year.
Uh-huh. Sorry. I had a baby then. 2022.
Yeah. Like, I can't totally remember all of mine, honestly, but I do remember I had a miscarriage at Sunny's birthday party, which was September. I know. September 10th. So it was around the same
time. Yeah, it was. Because we all like had a group.
I had her birthday party on Labor Day.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had, I guess, the same day or a year apart or something.
Right around the same time.
Yeah.
Because we had gotten pregnant around the same time, I think. Or you had gotten pregnant. Or I don't know. It was all very, we've all been intertwined.
Yes. Yeah. But we just, I remember a bunch of us got together, a bunch of girls, and we're talking about it. And almost half that room had one within 6 months of each other.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
It's crazy how many people have miscarriages.
It was. And I'm just so proud of you. Like, You're one of my favorite people, truly. Just the way
that's
that,
nice of you to say that, because I feel like I'm a hot mess express. No. And I'm like, do people even like me? I'm so intense.
So I like you so much.
Okay. I like you so much.
No, like you're just, I just kind of see you like the Little Mermaid. That was another mermaid reference of today, which y'all missed the earlier one, but here's our second one. And it's almost like you're like on the rock and like you let the waves just hit you and you're like, I'm going to sing my way through this. Like I am going to keep going. You're not knocking me off this freaking rock.
I do feel that way all the time. I'm like, it's a whole new world. Jesus. That was a big wave.
Okay. And you look so pretty doing it, you know, just like, seriously though, like I feel like you really do. I've watched you walk impossible things. I really have.
Well, we all have.
But I'm just talking about you right now. Exactly. And you have done it with such like grace and honesty. And I think that's why people love this podcast as they should. Like, you're just so real. Like, in every way. It is named correctly. Like, get real. Like, this is the realist. And you are the realist. And you don't sugarcoat things. And you don't pretend everything's awesome when it's not. And I love that about you.
Well, thank you, Kaylee.
Like, you've been through it. Like, yes, everybody has. But it's just...
Mine really hit me. Like, I had a pretty good... I mean, I have... Like, looking back, and now that I've done so much therapy on myself, I had a pretty great... Look, and we're doing a coffee with Kaylee, too. We're combining coffee with Kaylee and Get Real. So this is... If y'all haven't heard Kaylee's podcast, Coffee with Kaylee, she's got her coffee here, and she just gets into people's life. So I feel like we're doing a little combo meal here, because now here I'm about to tell you about my life.
Please do. As I sit back, I'm like, yes, I'll drink my coffee while you tell me.
Coffee. But I feel like growing up in my childhood, I had a really good... family and like, you know, great upbringing and normal childhood stuff, but nothing super T traumatic as we both love Porter's Call. Beth over at Porter's Call.
Yeah.
It's a big T, little T.
Yeah.
I had a lot of little T trauma, never like big T trauma growing up. I feel like my big T trauma hit me in my like 30s. Like I was pretty good and solid. I mean, actually I was an emotional wreck, but like.
Aren't we all? You know? I mean,
yeah. But I feel like it really like these past few years, it's just been like, God, if we're doing that Little Mermaid representation, it has just been wave after wave after wave. And finally, I'm like, whew. But it's like how my intensity gets a hold of me when I'm in those situations. Like, how do you not let, and you've been a great guide for me, the way that you talk and like handle things when, especially with like friends and like, because we're in this situation now where we're married, we have kids, we have friends, all these people are doing big things in their lives. Not all of our friends and family operates the way we think they should. Like, how do you handle your big, intense feelings when things aren't going the way you think they should go, or morally people aren't doing what they should do, or my intensity can get a hold of me and I'm having growing pains right now, or I'm having to learn how to hold my tongue.
Yeah.
And not interject my big intensity on everything.
Mine isn't it's not healthy. I'll tell you that. It's as an Enneagram 3, I retreat. I become reclusive. So that's why you've never seen me lose it, because I go and hide.
Well, that's better.
Yeah. And I do feel like in that space, because I get quiet.
So you're an achiever.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And my achieving just looks like Russell Dickerson's career. You know, like I have a hard time, but I have a really hard to-wing. And so I'm very helpful. Yeah. So I would rather, because I'm so afraid of failure. Ding, ding.
You are?
Oh, terrified.
You're afraid of failure?
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, how do I help someone else succeed so like I can't fail?
Really? Mm. So Russell's been perfect.
It's perfect. It's literally perfect. I get to help as much as I want. I get to like.
You've created a lot of his music videos. For a lot of people listening, you did Blue Tacoma, the whole music video, yours, the first one that launched him when he's walking in the rain. That was like your kind of idea, I feel like?
Or
like,
yeah, it was. Because I had done other music videos, which is so funny. I have five older brothers. My fourth brother is a director in LA, very successful and very helpful when you're trying to learn how to do this kind of stuff. And so he brought me in. The very first music video I ever shot officially was a Norah Jones music video.
Stop!
Yeah.
Which
I was
one?
Like, bro, I have never done this. But I was just a photographer at that point. And he was like, if you can take, it's the same thing. I can teach you how to do the film portion. If you have an eye, you have an eye. And I was like, okay. And he flew me to New York.
So you were like taking pictures of Norah while she's
doing? Like I filmed, a good
chunk of
it.
And you heard her singing live and stuff?
Yes, it was crazy. I mean, I was like, what's happening?
Did you freak out, Norah Jones?
Yes, I was 21.
Kaylee.
And he just gave me such an incredible opportunity, like so kind.
Okay, but what is that like when you walk in, you've never done anything like this before, you're 21 and now you're with Norah Jones, who's a superstar.
It's a three thing, because my MO is like, I can do it.
I can't fail.
I can do it and I won't fail. I will find a way to not fail.
You're going to find a way to not fail.
Yes, I will do whatever it takes. And so that started. And then when Russell had been turned down by every label, every radio program, every everything, but he had yours, I was like, wait.
You knew yours was it?
Oh, yeah. We knew. And it took 4 years from when he wrote it till it went number one.
How did y'all hang on to the faith for 4 years? Especially when you got no's from everyone.
We just knew. I mean, people had, part of our story is strangers praying for us.
Really?
Yes. It's crazy. These, like, I call Russ the prophecy stealer. It's like people just walk up to him and they're like, God told me something to tell you. And it's always been the same thing. It's always been just consistent that you're like, wow.
What do they tell him?
Just that he is called to do this. He's going to be in front of millions of people, that he's Daniela's dad, the one who passed away.
Daniela, your friend.
Yeah. My best friend. Yeah. Her, the one who passed away. He first met him at a friend at like a graduation party. He didn't even know he sang music, but this man, I'm telling you, saw the craziest God stories I've ever heard. Like crazy healings, people coming back to life, like
no way.
Crazy. And he walked up to Russell and he was like, boy, you got a Garth Brooks anointing on your life. And I was like, what?
What?
And he was like, yeah, you're going to be in front of millions of people. I don't know what you do, but you're going to be in front of millions of people.
You can feel it.
Yeah. And he's like, you're going to, and he looked at me and he's like, you're called to this friend group. And so that's when I knew we were getting married, because I was like, this is my friend group. So if you're called to this friend group, it's with me, because if we're not together, you gotta go.
And like, did you always want to marry Russell?
No, we were friends for like 2 years. I had no idea that I even liked him.
And he was kind of, I don't know if emo is the word back then, but yes. Wasn't he a little more like punk rocker, like got the straight hair?
Yes, yes, yes. He was a scene kid. A little more scene kid, yeah.
Scene kid. Scene?
He screamed in a metal band at one point.
Yeah.
But he grew up in like Cornfield Town, Tennessee, and then moved to Nashville when he was 10. And so when he moved to Nashville is when he grew up on like country, and he grew up country. And then moving to Nashville, interestingly enough, was when it was like the big city where he was exposed to like Blink 182 and which everyone thinks country music, but that's where he learned like pop music was so in Nashville.
He grew up country, like in the middle of real country. And he's like, oh, yeah. I got it. Now there's a whole new world out here.
But then when he started writing songs, country came out. Like, okay. Because it was deep rooted enough.
Uh-huh.
But there's some scene kid in there. You can hear it.
S-E-E-N?
S-C-E-N.
Scene. Like, what does that mean?
Like the Nashville scene.
Oh, the Nashville scene.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
That's a Russell question. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, so I was a missions photographer fresh out of college and
mission trips.
We went to like the UK. We went to Africa.
Was that life changing for you?
Oh yeah.
With totally. All the kids?
Mm-hmm. Different kids. Sometimes it was like leading worship for youth groups. It was all different kinds of things. There was one that was in Israel and it was all these like Bible teachers, and Russell and our friends were leading worship for these
you and Russell did
Bible
it together?
Teachers. Yeah. He would go up on a lot of them because they
as
were
friends.
Worship based. We were dating by then.
Oh.
But then people would, same thing. The guy in the front of the church was like preaching a whole sermon and then was like, you.
In the middle
yes,
of the sermon?
And it was like, stand up. And it was Russell.
Stop.
Dead serious. And he was like, you are called to the masses. And he was like, you are going to be on stage in front of millions of people.
Again?
Yes. Same thing. And he was like, you're on the fast track, which that was a lot slower than we thought it was going to be. But
fast track, okay, great,
yeah,
we're ready.
We're like, awesome, let's go. But like all these things that gave us enough hope, really. And then after that service, a little old man prayed for me and started telling me things like from my past. He was like, did this, and this happen? I was like, yes, yes, and yes. And he was like, God wants to, like, he doesn't want to just put Band-Aids on old wounds. He wants to make you brand new. And I was like, okay, I received that. And so he prayed for me and he was like, this marriage, he's like, this man you're with, this marriage is going to show the world the Father's love for his people. And this marriage is going to heal marriages. And I was like,
wait, I got to pause for a second because I feel that with y'all's marriage. I do feel that. Like, that's so
amazing. Isn't that
crazy?
That was in like 2010, maybe. It was a long time ago. We've been married 10 years. We were dating. We'd been dating maybe a year and a half at the time. I don't know. So it was a while ago.
Who made the move first, him or you? Because y'all were friends.
Well, it was like the Thompson Square, Thompson Station. Thompson.
They just played that song. Did you hear that when we walked in?
Uh-uh.
That is weird because
that is weird.
I was literally walking.
I always mess up their name.
Thompson Square.
Square, yeah.
I was walking to the parking garage to let you in, and that song, Are You Gonna Kiss Me or Not, came on, and I thought to myself, man, I haven't heard this song in a long time.
Yeah.
And now you're bringing this up.
Okay, but it was before that song even came out. And we were at a graduation party on the side of this graduation party and both had a little bit of liquid courage. And we were standing there and I was giving him every sign ever.
Because you were feeling it.
Yeah, I was like, I just like him. Why do I like him around all the time? Like I left one party with a friend and I was like, we have to go get Russell from this other party and bring him over here.
I need his energy.
I just like need him here. Yeah, and I was like, I still was oblivious, truly, at this point.
You just knew you loved being around
him. I loved being around him. And so we were at this graduation party and I looked at him and I was like, so are you going to kiss me or not?
Stop it. You're like, Thompson Square, there's your song.
There's your hook. You're welcome. It's a massive hit. And he looked at me. Oh my gosh, this is not a favorable Russell Dickerson story.
He goes,
well, I've never made the first move. Yeah, what? I know. Gross, right?
What? I was like, I'm sorry. Women flock to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They just throw themselves at you.
Can't
I was like,
you
well,
I'm
not
a musician.
This one. Yeah, I was like, not this one.
He said, I've never made the first move.
And I was like, well, then this is never going to happen. And then he grabbed me and kissed me. So that it like turned out very cute, but it was like annoying at first.
Oh my God.
I was like, ew. Gross.
Ew.
If you are, don't want to kiss you, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
So he made the first move. But then we almost broke up because he wasn't saying I love you because, you know, didn't ever make the first move. Like everyone always initiated and like pursued him.
Do you have like older siblings or older sister or something?
Younger sister.
He's the oldest?
He's the oldest.
Was he taking, did his mom take a lot of care of him?
Let's break this down real quick.
Why did he never?
His mom, no, I mean, yes, his mom was wonderful, but
he just never felt like he needed to make the first move.
No, he was just not in a rush. He also was like, I'm not getting married till I'm 30. Da, da, da. I was like, well, you let me know who she is because it ain't going to be me.
And how old were y'all when you?
We started dating. I was 21.
Okay. You're like, I'm not waiting 9 years, dude.
No, dude. No. And like, we weren't living together, all that stuff. I was like, listen, I'm not called to be a nun. So you figure out who she is because I'm not waiting till 30. That's not happening. And so we eventually, like after all these missions trips, people kept telling him, like we walked into a food court and this guy, it's so bizarre. The guy serving food in the food court, like had like stepped out. We were in Israel. He said, you two, you're going to come back married with children. And we're like, what? And Russ was like, what is going on? Because everyone just kept saying stuff like that. And so eventually he got the message. It was, couldn't have been louder or clearer, but he eventually got there. And I knew. And I put pressure on him at one point because we broke up.
Because he wasn't saying, I love you.
Oh, no, nope. I almost broke up with him. And then I had this crazy God experience that I didn't break up with him. So when he broke up with me, like a month later.
Can you tell us the experience?
Yeah. It's still so bizarre. I've told it on lots of podcasts, but it's like, I was laying in my bed. I left his house because his roommate had told his girlfriend of like 2 weeks he loved her. And I was like, get
this
me out of here.
And
we've been together
cool.
for like 10 months. Yeah.
You're
and
like,
I was like,
come
and
on.
Russell, we'd been friends for 2 years too. So
you know you love me.
Yes,
dude.
I was like, I know you love me. I know you well enough. I know you love me, but you don't have the guts to say it. And that's unattractive to me.
Amen.
And so I was like, if you can't say this, like what hard things are you going to be able to do in life?
Okay, let's break this down.
Yeah,
I was
amen.
Like,
no, thank you.
Amen again. I don't know why I'm just
so
saying
I let,
amen. You're making me feel
amen.
Like I'm in church here. Okay.
Preach
amen.
It,
hallelujah.
Preach. So I left and I was like, I have to get out of here before I burst into tears.
Because I'm a 3 and I can't let you see my weakness in that.
Exactly. I told you this in the car on the phone the other day or this morning. Yes, yeah. I was like, I will not show weakness. I will not cry in front of you. I need to get out of here. And I drove home. I was like, please don't let my roommates be awake. I don't want to talk about my feelings because I have all brothers. So I would just like go in my room, deal with my feelings, wake up the next morning, brand new day. Brand
really?
New day.
So yeah. You're good at just like processing
I move
alone.
Forward. I don't know if it's great. Sometimes it's squashed and buried and shows itself in resentment, you know? But I got home, got in my bed sobbing. And I was like, I can't do this. I felt like I had all these little breadcrumbs along the way of like, this is it. Like, this is the way, walk in it. And I was like, okay, it's Russell, I guess. And my prayer was always, God, if this isn't your best for me, I don't want it. Mm. Just take it. Take whoever it is. That was my prayer. Every guy I dated before him.
It's a great prayer.
It worked. It worked.
This isn't your prayer.
Highly effective prayer. And so when we were dating, I was like, God, I'm serious. Like, I really love him, but I just want your best for me. If it's better than this, I cannot fathom what that looks like, but sure, I'm open. And I got in my bed and I was bawling, crying. And I was like, if you want me to be with him, you're going to have to fill me with joy right now. I don't know why I prayed that. I'd never heard anyone pray that. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I didn't think it, you know, but I knew it. Exactly like the word thing from earlier. And
settled.
My whole body set on fire. Like kind of the feeling like when your foot falls asleep and my hands were on top of the covers and this weight just like fell on me. I had so much peace And I just start hysterically laughing.
Stop.
I was like,
after you were sobbing your eyes out?
Delusional. Yeah. I had no drinks involved, like nothing. I was like, this is insane.
I am absolutely actually
I have
crazy.
Lost my mind. Yeah. I literally was like, this is it. I lost it. I've lost it. But in that moment, I was just like, God, please don't go. Okay. I was like, and I couldn't have cared less about Russell, honestly, at that point. Cause
you're like, I just experienced a full-blown miracle.
Yes. I experienced like this presence of God I'd never experienced in my life.
Like God came into your body.
Yeah. Just like,
came
like
over
his spirit,
your body.
Like just like rested on me or something. Like I
Is that your first like tangible physical interaction with God?
No, I started believing in God when I grew up in a Christian house, but first time I was like, oh yeah, I believe this and it's for me. I was in like middle school. So I definitely saw God throughout my life. But
you had a real relationship.
This was like, holy smokes, what's happening? So I fell asleep like that. And I woke up and I was like, okay, I guess I won't break up with him. And then a month later, he broke up with me.
Why?
And so he looked at me, he was like, you're not the one.
You're like, I just got the laughter and joy of God put on me, confirming that you are, and now you're breaking up with me?
And I just looked at him and I was like, you're wrong. But go do whatever you have to do. He had never like kissed a girl after a show or like done. He had to just like sew his. He did that one time, by the way. And he was like, this is horrible. And like immediately it was over. But he just had never
gotten to be a little wild.
He's
free.
A monogamous. Like he always tried not to be, but he is like serial monogamous. Even if he's like, I'm not dating this girl. They were dating.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's
just a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's not playing the field.
No.
He's not out there.
Such a sweet guy. Such a wonderful guy.
Oh.
And so anyway, we broke
up. But he's like,
up.
I need to play the field a little bit for my record.
I was like,
Russell
go ahead.
Dickerson G-rated version of it.
Yep. He had just like, he was about to work with Dan Huff and like a big producer. And he was like, I'm about to be famous. Like, this is it. Like, I can't be tied down. And I was like, fly, birdie, fly. And he was like, we'll be friends. I was like, oh, like, hell we will.
No, we will not.
No. And he was like, wait, what? And I was like, no.
You don't get both. And eating it too.
You don't get both. Yeah. So I was like, it's been wonderful. I love you, but like, this
Goodbye.
Is it. Yeah. And he was like, wait, what?
And did he continue on? He
yeah.
went on with the breakup?
Yeah. For a whole month.
A whole month.
A whole month.
Did he kiss anyone after the show?
He did.
He kissed that one person
he
after
kissed the
show?
One person after the
and
show.
And he was like, this is not Kaylee.
Yeah, he was like, it gave him the ick. He was like, ugh, this is terrible. And I was like, I tried to tell you, but
I mean,
you had to experience it.
You got to go figure it out for yourself.
So you're
sorry.
Well, then I started to move on. And he was like, oh, absolutely not. That's really what did it. He was like, wait, I can move on. But
you
but
cannot.
No one else. And so as soon as that happened, he changed his tune pretty quick.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon.
Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And then did y'all, like, were y'all...
We dated another... Then that's when all those people, like, in Israel and all that...
Because now y'all
like,
were
you're
locked
married.
In.
Yeah. That's when that started happening. And then...
Did he come back and say, I love you? Will you be my girlfriend again? Did the love happen right away?
That is a really good question.
Haley
no,
Dickerson, I love you.
No, the love... Haley, not Dickerson. The love came... It was Kaylee Seymour. Maybe
Seymour.
Name. It was the Seymour Dickerson wedding, in case anyone's wondering. We... very inappropriate.
Seymour Dickerson...
We never actually put it in a newspaper because I wanted to like send it to Jay Leno, you know, like that was like a thing, like the late night, like inappropriate news article things. But
the Seymour Dickerson wedding,
Seymour Dickerson wedding,
going down.
We were only engaged for 3 months, so like we never did the announcement. We just were like, I just want to be married to you.
That is funny.
Okay. The Seymour Dickerson wedding. But what was I telling you before that?
The mom break. Love you. When did he say I love you?
Oh, after that, after I almost broke up with him, I think I told him about what happened, and he came around and said, I love you before we broke up. I can't remember exactly because he said it on accident a couple times. One time at Bongo Java, the coffee shop. Hilarious. Like he was like leaving and he was like, all right, bye, I love you. And like was facing away from me and paused because he realized what he said and just kept walking.
Like didn't turn back to see if you heard it. Just pretended like it didn't happen. You're like, Russell, you can say that to my face.
Yeah, that'd be great if you would actually. Like I know you do, but anytime now, any day. So now he says it incessantly. It's adorable. So it all worked out.
Okay. So then y'all had this dream and y'all got married and he was not having 4 or 5 number ones.
No.
He was having no number ones.
No number
getting
ones.
Turned down by everybody in town and just a really happy guy with a lot of faith and a lot of talent, but nothing really happening yet.
No.
So are you just like, we got this?
Yeah.
Are you just like in it for the long run? What is that beginning part like? And then what is it like when the dream comes true? Because I haven't really talked to you post dream coming true.
Yeah.
Because now, like, he just headlined an amphitheater.
Yeah.
He has had all these number ones. He's been on all these great tours. I mean, he's like Russell Dickerson.
He's doing it.
He's an artist that people know, people love. He's doing it.
It's, I think, when you've had that many confirmations, like, there's a lot of people who've asked, how do we do this or that? And I always say, I'm like, well, you got to wait for God to tell you if you're supposed to or not.
How do you know when God's telling you if you're supposed to?
Well, for us, it was all those confirmations. It probably looks different than for everyone, but you would have to really check yourself to know what's your motivation. Now I'm really sensitive to motivations. And I think that's why I really loved him because I think it's a really unique person to do what they do and like not be a narcissist.
Yeah.
You know, and
because your brand is you and everyone working with you is obsessed with you,
yeah,
because you are the brand,
right?
So your whole world is you,
and he's so
the artist.
He's like painfully humble.
He is,
yes.
But like, he's
honestly,
so
part
cute
of the part
and so
of my
funny.
Like role early on was like going to radio things and like saying all the things to promote him because he wouldn't say it. I'd be like, well, this song da 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 has this many streams, or like, have you heard this song, or like, because he wouldn't do it. He just was so humble, like painfully so. He's getting better. Not in a not humble way, but just like, hey, this is like what I'm supposed to do. And it's right. Okay to own it and be proud. And yeah, I think you need to know, because we would have probably given up so many times.
If you didn't know. So you've never doubted. Even when y'all were getting hard nosed and things weren't working out, you always knew, okay, it's just coming.
It almost made me more sure of it, because I feel like the God path is slower. And with resistance, and everyone in the Bible waited and was refined.
It's a great thing for people to hear.
Yeah, like David was in the field for years and years and years before he was ever put as king. And like the things that you need, and the skills and the abilities and the perseverance and the hope, all of those things come in the field.
Mm.
So that when you're given a crown of sorts, it doesn't ruin you.
You need to be humbled.
You need to keep your head down. You need perseverance. You need hope. You need faith. You need all these things.
All these hard lessons that you have to learn the hard way.
That don't happen overnight. And so that, I'm so thankful. Like now looking back, I wouldn't change anything. Like, because in that, with success, he is truly no different. Like at all. He can just like buy me a car that's not going to explode, you know? So that's nice. But he's just the same person. He really is, because this was never who he is. He had to figure out who he is. And then this is the overflow of it. And so even if it went away tomorrow,
he'd be fine.
He would be all right. He'd be sad, I think, just because he loves it
and
so much.
And loves the lifestyle. Like,
yeah, like he just loves performing.
And loves to sing and loves to perform. Yeah. Loves to get, but also
he'd
now,
miss it.
Like you said, he is meant to impact people. And y'all's marriage, like y'all are one of those couples, you know how like back in the, when it first got going, like Thomas Rhett and Lauren Akins, like everyone freaked out over Lauren. And it's like, they almost love her more than Thomas sometimes.
I mean, she's worth freaking out about.
But
she's
I feel
amazing.
Like you're the same. It's like Russell is amazing and such a light on stage, but it's like really to me, the part, and maybe it's just because I want to see happy marriages, and I want to see families, and I want to see that redemption of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been, I feel like, kind of lost a little bit in our world this day and age. Yeah. And I'm like, I see you guys, and I see him on stage, and I see how cute he is. I know you met him when he was like in his scene phase.
He has had a glow up.
He's had a total glow
up. He's had a total glow up.
And you've always been hot.
I always thought he was cute. I always did. But
he has had a glow up.
Yes, sir.
So I'm
like, hot dad. Let's freaking go. I know. I love it.
But I'm even with his daddy shoes and everything.
Yeah, even with his daddy.
It makes him more adorable. But I'm sure some women would love it, but they see y'all as a family, and they see this and they're like, man, I wish that could be me. But it's like, I see you guys as this family unit, and I'm like, that is so inspiring, because all these women would love to be with him.
Right.
I'm sure.
As they should.
As they should. But he is such a family man, and like that's such an important part to him, and that overflows into his music, and that shows in his social media, and that's you being the wife, like the way you are such a force of nature, and y'all together just like compounded light for God, and I'm like, it's just so powerful.
Thanks, hon. Yeah, I mean, I can't stress enough, like, the importance of marrying a good man.
Mm.
You know, like, as you were saying that.
What's a checklist for a good man?
A guy who knows how to avert his eyes, I'll tell you that.
Because there's always going to be somebody hot.
Always.
Always.
And I, like, as you were explaining it, like, all these girls, like, wanting him on the stage or whatever, it truly never crosses my mind. Like,
never
I'll be in the crowd. I'm not watching him, looking where he's looking. Like, it does not even cross my mind. Because he... Like, it's not like he's not going to see a pretty girl.
He's got eyes.
Yeah, like, he has eyeballs, But, like, he's just not, he's going to always protect me. Like, I've watched him protect me enough times to know, like, he's always going to, you know? I mean, you hope. But he just is. I don't think about it. And, you know, and I've been friends with artist wives before that are, like, pissed sitting side stage.
Because they have a reason to be, because their husbands don't avert their eyes.
And I'm like, Yeah. It's such a foreign concept to me at this point.
So never once it's never crossed your mind. How amazing is that? And also, do you think that's just the God-centered root thing that you guys have going
on? Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's flashings that happen. Did that ever happen with y'all's boys?
So
It's not common.
So people will just lift.
Yes,
just,
they will. They will. Like, and the guys know it's coming.
What's the point of that, though?
I don't know.
Are the girls who
They
lift
don't enjoy it, in case anyone's wondering. Like, I mean,
I mean, they have to look.
Well,
It's not going to see a pair of boobs, right?
No, it's just so shocking to me. I'm like, I just can't. Usually the girl's just like really far gone, you know, like at that point in the night. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what is she hoping that you see her boobs and like, I want to hook up with you?
I don't know. I don't. I really don't.
I'm going to fall in love with you because those boobs look great.
I feel like that needs to be the caveat. Like, obviously, like he's not looking, but then things are going to happen. Like, there's going to be hot girls. There's going to be things that happen. I've never understood the hype about something like that. I can't fathom it. Like, I'm hearing like a crew neck. I'm like, can you imagine? Oh my God, no. Like, but yeah, they'll just see like the watch. I'll see sometimes like the girl like working up the courage, you know?
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
This is such a good story about it. So we were in Ohio and he had a towel that he had like wiped the sweat. I was still filming stuff back in the day. I wonder if I have this video somewhere. And he threw the towel out. And someone threw a lacy bra back, but it was the same color as the towel.
Okay.
So he grabs it out of the air.
Because he thought it was the towel?
And realizes what it is and drops it. like not even in a cool way. Just like, oh my, like it was a rat. You know, like he was just like, oh my God. And bro looks up straight to me to see if I saw it or if I was upset or like anything. And I am crying laughing. Like I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And he was obviously relieved, but I was like, that is hysterical. Not that you should throw bras on stage. I'm like, they're expensive. Like why?
Especially if you have a good bra. It's hard to find a good bra.
Just for the record, they either stay on the stage or get thrown out. Like there's nothing exciting happening to your bra. Like keep that like $80 or what, $40, whatever that bra is. Keep your bra. But it was such a funny experience. I was like, it was like truly like he had a snake or something. He was like, oh my God. Anyway,
weird stuff happens
in our lives, you know, weird stuff.
I just love that. I mean, I think a lot of people are feeling this. The world feels a little bit like it's exploding lately. Mm. And it feels like sometimes a lot of the morals and values are getting lost and there's so much hurt and pain and suffering and people are trying to find themselves and hurting people along the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just feel like some hardcore moral values have kind of, people sometimes scoff at them even a little bit this day and age. Like, ugh, that's like, you know, like get with it. Mm-hmm. But it's like but these moral values are here to keep us protected and safe. And to see you guys like leaning into that instead, because we all have choices. You can go every which way. Mm-hmm. And marriage ain't easy. I mean, probably for you guys it's easy.
Oh, no. I mean,
because y'all are the happiest couple in the
world. Well, I don't know. I don't know what our life and our marriage would be like if we didn't do what we do, too. Don't you feel like that? Like, that feels so hard that I'm like, wow, would our marriage just be like a cakewalk if we were at home and you were a banker and I was a teacher? Like, I don't know. Like, it feels like the hard parts to our relationship are all external.
Mm. But how you deal with those, though, is internal.
Totally.
It's an internal choice.
Totally.
And the way that you guys deal with the external is all about how y'all are internally wired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And I say that.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, listen, I have a hacking problem. I'm just passing it over to you if you got a cough and hack.
It's the cream or something down here that's making me phlegm. But I say that to a lot of dating couples. They're like, what's your dating advice? I was like, it should be fun. It should be easy. Like, life gets hard. Having kids gets hard. Your relationship, there's 7 billion people. Like, surely there's someone that's your best friend that it's like easy and fun to be around. And I've always felt like that with, like you were saying, we have choices and people can look at a God relationship as like, well, God's saying no, this and that, and he's angry. And really, if you boil down all of the things we're told and he says to do or not to do, they all boil down to like, this will either hurt you or hurt someone else. And that's something I've seen as a parent. I'm watching my son grab a knife off the counter and he's throwing a fit that I won't let him have a knife, you know? And I'm like, ain't this just like God? Like, that guy I dated was a knife. And I was screaming, crying. I wanted it. And he's like, this will hurt you. Let me take it from you.
And you're like, no, yeah, I need
it. But I was like, that is so everything true. Can be boiled down to like living this way, being honest. Like, don't lie because it hurts people. Don't kill people. It hurts people. Don't, you know.
Steal.
Don't steal. Yeah. Eat. Everything is, it hurts people. And God just loves people.
So he's just giving you some guidelines to like, don't do this.
To protect you and other people.
Yeah, that's it. Really, it's like, I'm telling you.
And
this.
He's not like, how dare you? You know, he's like always like, I saw that, not the move.
Let's try again.
I'm here, let's try again, you know? And like, he's the best parent. And that's my parenting style. Everyone's like, are you a patient parent? Are you this or that? I'm like, well, I'm not a permissive parent because God's not permissive either.
What are you as a parent? Let's talk about that.
I try to parent how I feel like he parents me. And it is yes, no. It is, this is good for you. It's not good for you. I will remove this from you if it's not safe for you. There are consequences, but then overly affirming and overly loving, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't do like, we'll do timeouts, but I don't leave them alone.
Okay.
I don't like the, like, you did something wrong, go away from me.
So how do you do your timeout?
I sit with him.
Talk about what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, why are we here?
Okay. So say Remy grabbed a knife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, if you don't put it down, we're going to timeout and I count to three. I do a little 3 countdown.
Okay.
And then we go to timeout. And the fingers are real helpful in public. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Yeah. Because if they're not listening, it's like, but then we go and it's really, you need a break. Like you're overstimulated or whatever's happening. And so I'll take him to the corner and we'll sit and I'll be like, why are we here? And he'll say, because I didn't listen. And I'm like, well, was that knife going to hurt you? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, mommy doesn't want you to get hurt. So mommy's always going to protect you and take away things that are going to hurt you. And you need to trust me and you'll learn to trust me. And I'm really intentional about, he has to say, I'm sorry. And I always say, I forgive you instead of it's okay.
Okay. Tell me why you do
that. Because it's not okay. So to me, I'm like, I want him to learn. And when I apologize to him, I'm like, I'm sorry. I wasn't able to help with that when you wanted and whatever. Like, I'm so sorry. Can you forgive mommy that I was distracted or whatever. And he'll say, I forgive you. Because I don't want him to, it's not okay if I'm thinking some work thing on my phone is more important. It's not okay.
Yeah.
And if he is disobeying and say or says something mean or whatever, it's not okay. But the active practice of I forgive you and vice versa. That's how I do it. He is three, so I am no professional. Trust me.
I feel like you are pretty professional.
No, my gosh, I'm so not. And there's days I'm like, well, right now we're in the sleep regression. My newest baby is 4 months and we're not sleeping. And so at 6 a.m., I'm like, Russell, they're your children now.
Goodbye.
And I got to lay down today, which was very nice so that I can sort of have coherent sentences. But we're just figuring it out. I mean,
how has motherhood and parenthood changed you and Russell as individuals and your relationship?
It's made us maybe less patient. I don't know. I think the hardest part is the relationship because we actually love being together so much. Like last night we got in bed and he was like, I feel like I haven't seen you. And mind you, I went on the road with him this weekend with the kids. Then we had just got home. We got back yesterday morning and he was like, I feel like I haven't even seen you. And we were together.
But he's right.
But he's right.
Haven't had time
and
to see each other.
That is definitely the hardest part. And we're not good about date night because there's so much we need babysitters for. Just in the evenings, our lives are so crazy. Like tonight he has a number one party. And so I need a babysitter. And so we just, when we're home, we like to be home. Mm-hmm. And so we did do a staycation once. That was awesome.
Where was it?
Highly recommend. I found, we did the One Hotel downtown Nashville.
Yes, in Nashville.
In Nashville.
Yeah.
And right. It was like maybe a month ago and we had some extra points on our card.
So right after you had a baby, you did it.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's hard.
Well, no, I got a night nurse. I was like,
that's hard to like break
this.
Away.
Yeah. I needed it. I wasn't sleeping. I was like, I'm dying. I need to sleep. And so he was like, all right, here's our date night. And we hadn't done a date night probably in like 6 months or something. So we had all this date night cash stacked up that I was like, let's go. We're getting a night nurse and stayed the night. And it just really was good for me to have a dinner that I wasn't headed home afterwards. Mm. And my mom's in town. And so we had pulled all the favors. We had the grandparents. We had everything.
So but you're like, the kids are fine.
Yes.
I can
yes, so I
check
can
out.
Check out. Uh-huh. And I just needed that. And every time I do something like that, it's hard to be like, we're going to prioritize this. But then every time I'm like, we needed this. Like I needed to sleep and be a coherent person and have a conversation with you. And that's definitely what I miss the most pre-kids. But obviously you wouldn't trade anything ever.
Like Remy and Rad are the luckiest boys to have you and Russell for their parents. So I mean, sweet. Just the joy that's going on in y'all's house all the time. And I wanted to talk to you about this too, and we'll wrap up. I'm sure we're getting close to an hour. I have no idea how long this has been going. Probably
sorry.
Oh my
don't
gosh,
mind us.
We've got to wrap up. Oh don't my gosh. Okay. Well, okay. First off,
I'll be quick. I'll do. Sorry. I was just like rambling.
I love this. This is why I could talk to you for 2 hours. That's why I need a time check. Okay, great. I feel like you're so good at social media because like social media can be all consuming, but you're so good at showcasing your life and Russell and he's so adorable and your kids are so adorable, but I feel like it doesn't consume your entire existence, but you show us your life. Is there an art to that?
I love that you think that because
I
literally was like, I probably should hire somebody. Like I'm not very good at this. I document a lot because I'm a photographer. So like I just film everything. But then my problem is I don't put it up because I want to be in the moment. So I'll be like, oh, I'll post that later. I'll post that later. And then like we went to the Super Bowl. I posted.
You went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Do I have a single thing on my feed about it? Sure don't.
Wait, you went to this year's Super Bowl?
Yes.
With Travis and Taylor?
Yes. Mostly with Blake Lively. I don't, those two, Travis and Taylor, cool. Love it. Great.
You're not, I'm kind of.
Blake Lively.
Kind of losing my love for, I was like, no, for Travis and Taylor. I love them so much, but he went a little bro for me at the Super Bowl, but he won the Super Bowl. Good for him.
Yeah.
He's happy.
Yeah. It's great.
I love him. I still love him so much.
You know my theory on the two of them? I think it was a setup.
You do?
I do.
What?
But I think...
You think it was a setup? Yeah. Well, they did get set up.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's like a Hallmark, a real life Hallmark movie. I think they've really fallen in love with each other. They were like, let's pretend we're a couple, just because it would make all this buzz in the whole world. And then they actually fell in love with each other.
Okay, see, I do not think it was a setup.
That's my theory. You really think?
No, I think it was like exciting because he like pursued her.
I mean, it's adorable. I
hope
it's
never
real.
Been really pursued. And,
yeah.
But if anyone needs the fairy tale, it's her. She's written so many songs about it and tried so hard for love.
I'm rooting for it.
Me too.
I think they're very cute.
I still like Travis.
I like that he has his own thing. But yeah,
the whole like you got to fight right to party, like all that. I was like, that's great. But I'm like,
it was intense.
It was intense.
But yeah, we got to go.
Oh my God.
But all that to say, I did post on my stories because I was like, we're at the Super Bowl for the
not
love.
On the feed.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why you're like, and you're good at this. I'm like, honestly, I'm not. So maybe today I'll post about it.
You should do a reel about the Super Bowl, Kaylee.
I know. We took our dads. It was so cute. My dad, Russ's dad. And honestly, my dad, he wore his oldest living teenager
t-shirt. Which he also wore on your podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Your dad, is he the happiest guy ever?
Yes. But that's, you know, you marry your dad.
So your dad's really, like Russell.
Yeah. I'm very, very blessed that my like nervous system was accustomed to someone who's like joyful, faithful, and like wonderful, you know, that felt comfortable to me. I know. He's amazing. And so, but what's hilarious is he got more pictures asked than Russell did.
Because walking around.
Yes. They were like keeping tabs and he beat Russ by like two.
Stop.
Because people were like, can I have a picture with you? Your shirt's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, Kaylee, awesome. You're blessed from the start. You are meant to bless the world, and you and Russell are meant to bless the world. Talk about coffee with Kaylee really quickly because we're already an hour.
It's come have coffee with me and my friends, and you have to come on it. Obviously.
I would love to come on it.
When I eventually get out of two kid newborn land, maybe I'll sleep. That'd be great. And then I'll try and do another season. And
so
you have to
do
it with me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from that podcast?
How much I need it.
Mm-hmm. I feel you on that.
Yeah. I thought I was going to like help other people and, you know, let my friends be heard in the world. Like, I just feel like I have such amazing friends and so many people don't get really great friend groups. And I'm like, I just want to share. And I thought I was doing it for everyone else. And it ended up being really good for me.
I get that.
Yeah.
So much. I've learned so much about life from the podcast.
Yes. I learned so much from like, even you ask different questions than you would in real life a little bit. Like, I don't know. I have to be even more intentional. And the things that I learn even about my friends, they're awesome. Just like you. So you got to come on there.
Kaylee, you're amazing. Okay. Anything I'm missing? So many things I'm missing. Russell has a number one party today. He's got his fourth or fifth number one.
Yeah,
amazing.
I think it's five.
Five. Come
yours,
so
far. Blue Tacoma, Every Little Thing, Love You Like I Used To, God Gave Me a Girl. Five.
Five number ones.
Five.
I just love that we can't remember. That's so great.
I mean, it's great. 2020 was in there. It felt like a vortex. Like there were some that got pretty close but didn't go. So I was like, wait, is it? Five.
Oh my God. I love it. Okay. So let's wrap up with Leave Your Light. What do you want people to know? It's just open-ended question. What do you want people to know to inspire them?
I just want people to know, honestly, that God loves them. Really. That you are loved. And I like feel so lucky to have like such an incredible love story on this earth. But like ultimately, I already had the greatest love story, you know?
God?
Yeah. Yeah, like someone loves you and me enough that they're like, yeah, I'd rather die than not be with you. You know, like that actually happened. And knowing that, I feel like was just the baseline for everything else in my life to like have the faith for something because you know you're loved. And that changes everything, the way you're able to love other people out of an overflow instead of a deficit. Mm. And it's just life changing. And I just want everyone to know they're loved, really.
I love that. Kaylee.
I love you.
I love you so much.
I'm
I love
so
your life.
You.
I'm so proud of you. Thank you for coming on.
Are you kidding?
Truly. You're an angel. You and Russell are angels. And I get why y'all have been prophesied that you will speak to millions because people need to be around you and your light and your energy. It's so amazing. And it's such a joy to see you guys in action and living out your purpose and blessing your own life and others and the way you navigate and deal with life. It's just such a testament to your faith. Thank you for coming on, Kaylee Dickerson.
I love you.
Stick around.
Carolina Hobby, everybody.
On this Thursday, we're going to have a quick little episode of Burning Questions with Kaylee Dickerson. So you're going to want to tune in because I can't wait to see what kind of burning questions are coming your way. Kaylee, love you.
Love you back.
Bye.
The
Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.